or your right to vote, or whatever. So you have the right to punish them and exclude them. Your instinct tells you that you have to for your own survival. Or they've come here to trade with you, and you have the right to be involved. It's a transaction, so you have to make sure they don't cheat you and that they accept returns. We don't entirely trust anyone outside of our households and our sacred communities. We have fences and private properties and envy and a general sense that the people who live next door, and definitely the people who vote differently than we do, are not our tribe. So we're still worried they're going to steal from us, and they're going to bargain unfairly with us. We're going to come out on the losing end. We develop these beliefs about danger, and we end up growing into these political, religious, and other social polarizations. It's very deep in us. On top of that fear is the shame of discovering you secretly have a lot of beliefs that are polarized and prejudiced. There should be no shame in this. Our culture and families bred it into us. An acronym for shame is should have already mastered everything. Good luck with that. The opposite of shame is to understand that we are works in progress. Please be patient. And that in everything, there is subtlety, there is compromise, and there is nuance. It's complicated here. It really helps to take our belief systems a little more lightly. I can't possibly be right because I can't see the future. I have no idea what the overall picture is from the species' point of view. I only think I do. In fact, I'm positive I do. I'm just positive, positive, positive that my beliefs and opinions are right. So I close my eyes and pray to God. I am in too deep a hole. I could use your help getting out of this stuckness and this prejudice and this shutdownness and moving into grace and gentleness and open-mindedness. Thank you in advance for your healing and tender mercies. Amen. I also read beautiful works on truth and reconciliation and compassion. Everything by Ram Dass and Jack Kornfield and Sharon Salzberg about pure and radical coming together in total love with people who are so different from us. Another thing I do is recognize that this indignation and contempt are of no use to me. In fact, they're toxic. They are guaranteed to make me mentally sick and spiritually off, rashy on the inside. If I fall into them, I'm going to want to catch myself. I'm going to pray for God to help me. I'm going to read really deep spiritual stuff, and I'm going to try and take my beliefs lightly. There's a great line in the AA Big Book where Bill Wilson urges sober alcoholics to avoid the deliberate manufacture of misery. This means no doom scrolling, no reading things where people brilliantly articulate my bad, contemptuous, shut-down heart views on what's going on politically and socially. Instead, I read C.S. Lewis. I read the poets Mary Oliver and W.S. Merwin. I read Robert Thurman. I immerse myself in truth and beauty and goodness, goodness being a synonym for God. I turn away from this dark thought process. I choose grace. Grace is spiritual WD-40. I use it to unclench. What happens then is I breathe in. I breathe out. I go left foot, breathe. Martin Luther King Jr. said something that has helped me almost more than anything. He said, "Let no man pull you so low as to hate him. Hate steals away the power of your love and the truth of your spiritual identity, which is that you are love. You are goodness. You're a sweet, curious child filled with wonder and curiosity." These darker personas and positions were all added to us by our parents and our teachers who were afraid, who wanted us to stay alive and to believe what they believed so that it would prove that they were right. Well, as the Buddhist